good to see everyone this morning. What an honor and a privilege again to come and dive into his likes and his dislikes, to drawing near to Elohim. That's such a privilege to be able to draw near to him. And we know that there was only one way for us to draw near to him, and that's because of our Messiah. No other way. Without him, there was no other way to draw near to Elohim. And I'm so thankful for the price that was paid. How many enjoyed the whole Torah portion last night? Notice I said whole, because the pastor did the whole thing in 27 slides, in case y'all didn't notice. The whole thing was done. And I'm so thankful for it, because that means I don't have to go that long this morning. He's so good to us. Amen. Well, we will go ahead and get started. We have so much to talk about, as always. But we'll go ahead and our Torah teachers are understanding his likes and his dislikes. You know, I went home thinking about, because he mentioned about the two sons of Aharon. You know, there was no second chance for them. I thought about this last night when I went home, and again this morning when I woke up. When they brought that strange fire, it was over with. They didn't get a second chance after that. And I thought about how many second chances we done got. And he continues to give us each and every day. Each and every day we have second chance after second chance after second chance. But my question was, how many times is he going to allow that? How many second chances is he going to give me? Do I want to take it for granted? Or do I want to live my life totally according to what his scripture is telling me to do and how to live it? I don't want to take it for granted, because I don't never know when it's going to be that last second chance. I don't want to roll the dice on that last second chance. I don't want to roll the dice. I want to know for sure without a shadow that if I know he is for me, I want to live for him. We got to know that he's for us. You can't have that fear. When he says move, we got to move. When he says jump, you got to jump. Not doubt. Don't doubt. If we sing that song, I know you for me. If we know that, how can we have fear? How can we have doubt? The enemy puts that in our mind. The enemy wants us to doubt how good he is, how merciful, how powerful he really is. He's so good to us. So good to us. We're in Torah portion number 26, the Shemini, and it's Hebrew for 8. And Torah is Leviticus 9, 1 through 11, 47. And the half Torah is Ezekiel 36, 16 through 38, and 2 Samuel 6, 1 through 19. And I'll read the topics again. It's on the 8th day following the 7 days of their anointing and inauguration for the priesthood. Aharon and his sons begin to officiate as Kohenim, priests. A fire issues forth from Elohim to consume the offerings on the altar, and the divine presence comes to dwell in the sanctuary. And that's how you know they did it right. That's how you know they did it exactly how he prescribed, because his presence came in the sanctuary. His fire came in the sanctuary. Now, we notice that fire came when he did it right, and fire comes when you do it wrong. What fire you want? I want the fire when it's done right. That's the presence I want. I don't want the presence of when I've done it wrong. I don't want that one. Because you never know what the outcome of that one's going to be. You're either going to tweak a little things in life to correct it, or you're going to disobey it. You're going to do one or the other. It's up to you what one you decide to choose or use. But I want to bring the fire that his presence coming is the good one. I don't want the utter fire. We don't want the utter fire. Nobody does. Aharon, two elder sons, Nadab and Abihu, offer a strange fire before Elohim, which he commanded them not, and died before Elohim. Aharon is silent. And I thought about that, especially when Sister Connie made that reference this morning. So many times when we do something, instead of us just being silent and take whatever consequences come with it, we want to hoop and holler about who did this and who did that. Aharon was silent. Think about it. He just witnessed his two sons being burnt up for the strange fire that they brought before Yehovah. And he didn't blame, oh, well, Moshe didn't tell us in great detail. We're going to read chapter 8 that Moshe told you in great detail what to do and how to do it. Just in our Torah portion, he's given us great detail of how to live for him. It's up to, we're going to make the choice if we're going to do it the right way or our way. And his way is the right way. Of course, we all know off top that our way is definitely the wrong way. It's not even close. We can't write this script. He does. But Aharon was silent. Think about it. I wonder what was going through his mind. What he was thinking. Maybe he was blaming himself. Because that's what parents do. When kids mess up, you always think of what I could have done better. What I didn't do. What I should have done. What I should have said. What I didn't say. All those things go through a parent's mind. Or when their kids mess up, you hold yourself accountable. But sometimes they got to hold their self accountable. I think that's why he was so silent. He knew that he did everything that he could to raise them right in the priesthood. But it was their choice. It was their choice to get a little tipsy. And you see the outcome of being tipsy. We witness it. If you ever been tipsy, you've seen the outcome of being tipsy. It's always you're doing something you have no control of. You had control in the beginning, but then it took over you. Then you had no control. Then that's when all the regrets come in. It's too late then, just like it was too late for them. Aharon is silent in face of his tragedy. Moses and Aharon secretly disagree as to a point of law regarding the offering. But Moses concedes to Aharon that Aharon is in the right. Elohim commands the kosher laws, identifying the animal species permissible and forbidden for consumption. Land animals may be eaten only if they have split hoofs and also chew their cud. Fish must have fins and scales. A list of non-kosher birds is given, and a list of kosher insects, four types of locusts. And hopefully we can get to that by Wednesday. Hopefully. Also in the Shemini are some of the laws of ritual purity, including the purifying power of the mikvah, a pool of water meeting specified qualifications, and the wellspring. Thus, the people of Israel are enjoined to differ between the impure and the pure. Before we jump down to where I want to read this one more time, because listen, there's nothing more comforting to know that when you mess up, you have an advocate. Listen. They didn't have an advocate when they messed up. That's what the Messiah came and did for us. That's what he came and did for us. That when we mess up, we deserve death. Just like the two sons of Aharon, when they messed up, they deserve death. How many times we brought strange fire? I never brought strange fire. You might don't say that. Be careful. We have brought strange fire. And what is scary is that you never know when you'll do it again. But this scripture right here gives me a comfort, reassures me that I have someone on my behalf who took debt for me. My advocate, Christ our advocate. 1 John 2:1, my little children, I write this to you so that you do not sin. And if anyone sins, he knew. Yehovah knew. He knew that if he didn't send this Messiah, my advocate, he knew there would be no one on the face of this earth. No one. We all, it'd just be him, his angels that he created, and his son. Nobody else would be here. He knew we needed that advocate. How gracious is our Father. How loving. How so true. If anyone sins, we have an intercessor with the Father, Yeshua Messiah, a righteous one. Listen, the enemy wants you to think that when you mess up, you're done, you're finished. There's no coming back. Why even try? He puts those thoughts in your mind. Why even try? Again, you did it? Why even try? Because I have an adversary. I have an advocate who's so faithful. He's faithful. Yeshua is faithful. So righteous. All what we just sing about Elohim, Yeshua is the same one. So true, so faithful, so wonderful, so powerful in all he did and continue to do. But the enemy wants you to think, you are finished. You done messed up for the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth time. But we need to get this John, 1 John 2:1. And he himself is an atoning offering for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So powerful. So powerful. Not just for mine. Listen, and I come with a bunch of baggage. I come with a bunch of sins. A lot. But yet not only mine, but for the whole world. You think he's so powerful? Yeah, he's powerful. Think about that. Think about that advocate, that spokesman who speaks on our behalf. You know, we got a spokesman that speaks on the behalf of the state and behalf of your country. But think about him speaking on behalf of the whole world. The whole world. Listen, your mess up is not a mess up that you can't come back from. Your shortcomings is not a shortcoming that you can't come back from. That's not what his word tells me. That's not what his Torah tells me. He says, because of my advocate, I can come back from my mess up. I don't have to stay down. The enemy wants you to stay down. And by this we know that we know him if we guard his commands. If we guard his command, there is something we have to do. We have to guard his commands. We can't say we know him, sing songs we know him, and not guarding his commands. Why? Because he says, he calls you a liar in the very next verse. The very next verse. If you don't guard my commands, you are a liar. I don't care if you've been going to church for 50 years. If you're not guarding his commands, you are a liar. That goes for whatever classification you are in the church. You can be the pastor. You can be the deacon. You can be the prophet. Whatever you want to label yourself as. If you're not guarding his commands, you are a liar. Qualifications don't matter. The one who says, I know him, and does not guard his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever guards his word, truly the love of Elohim has been perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. The one who says he stays in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Walk even as he walked. Who's the he's talking about? Anybody? So how did he walk? According to his commands. He walked no differently. He did everything according to his commands. That's how he became my advocate. If he wouldn't have, he wouldn't have been my advocate. And where would I have been? Where would we have been? Ceased to exist. We would have been dead a long time ago. Long time ago. If it wasn't for my advocate. But he says, if you want to stay in him, you got to walk as he walked. I just wanted to read that one more time because it was so powerful last night. So we get down right here. This is how you know that Aharon and that Moshe did exactly. He spelled it out. He taught them exactly how Yehovah wanted them to do it. He didn't leave nothing out. He gave great detail. And we're going to see that. How you say that? Because it tells us that his presence dwelled with them. That's how you know. You want to know how you doing it right? How you living right? You following his commands like he wants? Like he prescribed? His presence will dwell with you wherever you go. Listen, you won't have to ask for healing. It'll automatically come. Like you won't have to call someone and say, hey, I need prayer because I need healing in my body. Listen, if you're living up to his commands, you follow his commands like he tells us to, his presence is going to touch you. It could be in your house, your car, on the job, wherever you at. You don't have to wait for Shabbat to get you healing. You don't have to wait for Friday night to get you healing. If you wait to Friday, if you're sick on Monday and you wait until Friday night to get a healing, well, go ahead and endure the pain because I ain't waiting that long. Because he says, if I'm doing everything in his commands, his presence is going to dwell in me. And where his presence is, there's healing. Where his presence is, there's forgiveness. If I slip up on Sunday, I ain't waiting till Shabbat to ask him for forgiveness. I'm not waiting for that. That's too long. I can't chance that. I can't chance waiting that long. Carrying that all week till Friday, till Shabbat night. No, I need it before I close my eyes, before I go to bed that night. Because who's to say that if I wait that long, that other strange fire, well, that fire that he consumed the sons of Aharon, that's going to be the same fire he consumed me. I don't want to chance that. I have an advocate who's righteous. Don't wait that long. Don't let the enemy beat you up and think you got to wait that long. You do it that day. You do it that day. Consecration of Aharon, his sons. Leviticus 8, verse 1. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, take Aharon and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the door of the tent of appointment. And Moshe did as Yehovah commanded him. The scripture says Moshe did as Yehovah had commanded him. And the congregation was assembled at the door of the tent of appointment. And Moshe said to the congregation, this is the word Yehovah commanded to be done. So Moshe brought Aharon and his sons and washed them with water and put the long shirt on him, and girded him with the girdle, and dressed him in the robe, and put the shoulder garment on him, and girded him with the embroidery band of the shoulder garment, and with it tied the shoulder garment on him, and put the breastplate on him, and put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate. How many see that Moshe is dressing them for the occasion? Listen. Sometimes you got to check what you're wearing. Make sure you dress for the occasion. Check your garments. He couldn't have put just any garment on them and send them into the tabernacle, to the holy, the most holy. No, you have to be dressed a certain way. That's certain garments you have to put on. Don't think that you can come to him with any garments you have on. Now, when you're just coming to him, that's different. When you haven't experienced him or totally given your life to him, you got some garments on that you can come and he'll take them off and dress you in the garments that you need. We got to make sure we keep those garments on. We don't want to put on the same old garments that he done took off us and think that he's going to accept that. You playing with fire. You playing with fire. And put the turban on his head, and on the turban on his front, he put the golden plate, the set apart sign of dedication, as Yehovah had commanded Moshe. And Moshe took the anointing oil and anointed the dwelling place and all that was in it and set them apart. And he sprinkled some of it on the slaughter place 7 times and anointed the slaughter place and all its utensils and the basin and its base to set them apart. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to set him apart. And Moshe brought the sons of Aaron and put long shirts on them and girded them with girdles and put turbans on them as Yehovah had commanded Moshe. Think about Moshe and his responsibility. If he didn't do it right, if he would have girded them, well, we didn't have to put the long shirt on them. We can put just a shirt on them. I think Moshe was a little more wise. He knew a little, he knew more better. I know that drives a couple people crazy in here when I say more better. But it's okay. He knew better. He knew better. He was wise. He had wisdom. But you think if he wouldn't have done it the way that Yehovah, who would have been on the hook? You think it would have been Aaron's fault? You think it would have been his son's fault? No, Moshe would have been on the hook for that. Think about the weight on his shoulders. You think it's important to make sure that we listen closely to his voice? Of what to do and how to do it? Because you're on the hook just as well as we're on the hook for things we say up behind this pulpit. You hearing it, you on the hook. It's not our fault if it ain't getting done. So be careful. Make sure we're listening closely, intentively, like Moshe was. Because he was on the hook for this. If something went wrong, it was his fault. If he didn't do it right. And he poured some of the anointing on Aaron's head and anointed him to set him apart. And Moshe brought the sons of Aaron, put long shirts on them, and girded them with girdles, and put turbans on them as Yehovah had commanded Moshe. And he brought the bull for the sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering. And it was slain. And Moshe took the blood and put some of the horns and put some on the horns of the slaughter place all around with his finger and cleansed the slaughter place. And he poured the blood at the base of the slaughter place and set it apart to make atonement for it. And he took all the fat that was on the entrails and the appendage on the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat, and Moshe burned them on the slaughter place. And the bull and its skin and its flesh and its dung he burned with fire outside the camp, as Yehovah had commanded Moshe. And he brought the ram of the ascending offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and it was slain. And Moshe sprinkled the blood on the slaughter place all around. And he cut the ram into pieces, and Moshe burned the head and the pieces and the fat. And he washed the entrails and the legs in water, and Moshe burned the entire ram on the slaughter place. It was an ascending offering for a sweet fragrance, and an offering made by fire to Yehovah, as Yehovah had commanded Moshe. And he brought the second ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Notice, each and every slaughter, Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of that animal. They did. Because they knew that that animal was because it was for their sins, their offerings. Wasn't for the people yet. They had to get themselves right before they can try to tell the people to get themselves right. No different than when we get up here and present this teaching. We better make sure we got ourselves right before we get up here and try to ask y'all to get yourself right. We can't get up here and say, y'all do this, 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 and we're doing something totally different. Guess what? Strange fire. And I'm not rolling that dice. I don't want that. Well, not that I don't want this. I already got the responsibility. It's here. Want it or not. You're either going to do it or you're not. And I remember choosing not to do it, and I got myself in a whole lot of trouble when I chose not to do it. I learned the hard way. I learned the hard way that when you don't yield to His calling, to His set apart spirit, and you yield to yourself, get yourself in trouble. And then I need my advocate to come and bail me out. What a lawyer to have on your side. You know he never lost a case? Never. Nor will he ever will. And he brought the second ram, the ram of ordination. Aharon and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And it was slain. And Moshe took some of his blood and puts it on the tips of Aharon's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. You know, there's some things you read in scripture that it doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't make sense to us. We really don't get the gist of it. But you still have to trust and know that He knows what's best. He brought near the sons of Aharon, and Moshe put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moshe sprinkled the blood on the slaughter place all around and took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the appendix on the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and their right and the right thigh. And from the basket of unleavened bread that was before Jehovah, he took one unleavened cake and a cake of bread anointed with oil, and one thin cake, and put them on the fat and on the right thigh. And place all these in the hands of Aharon and in the hands of his sons, and wave them as a wave offering before Jehovah. Moshe then took them from their hands and burned them on the slaughter place on the ascending offering. They were ordinations for a sweet fragrance. It was an offering by fire to Jehovah. And Moshe took the breast and waved it, a wave offering before Jehovah. It was Moshe's portion of the ram of ordination, as Jehovah had commanded Moshe. And Moshe took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood, which was on the slaughter place, and sprinkled it on Aharon, on his garments, and on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him, and set apart Aharon his garments and his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. And Moshe said to Aharon and his sons, cook the flesh at the door of the tent of appointment and eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of the ordinations, as I have commanded, saying, Aharon and his sons are to eat it. They then burn the rest of the flesh and the bread with fire. And do not go outside the door of the tent of appointment for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed. For he fills your hands for 7 days. Jehovah has commanded to do as he has done this day to make atonement for you. And stay at the door of the tent of appointment day and night for 7 days. Notice, stay at the door of appointment for day and night for 7 days. Aharon and his sons had to stay there for 7 days, day and night. And you shall guard the duty of Jehovah and not die, for so I have been commanded. And Aaron his son did all the words that Yehovah had commanded by the hand of Moshe. They had did all the words that Yehovah had commanded by the hands of Moshe. So it was nobody's fault of what happened to the two sons of Aaron but themselves. Because they did it. Moshe explained it and made sure that he did it, that they did it exactly how Yehovah told them to. Listen, we have the same explanations. We have the same script. It's no one's fault when we fall short. We have it right here. We had it through Moshe, and we had it through Yeshua. Walk even as he walked. And he walked according to this right here, the Torah. When things are going wrong in our lives, no one to blame. Be silent. Just like Aaron was silent. I love how David says it the best. I and only I sin against you. Not my wife's fault, not my kids' fault, not my parents' fault, not my church's fault, not my pastor's fault. I and only I sin against you. It's my fault. How we know that he did it right? Verse chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord accepts Aaron's offering. He accepted. And on the eighth day, it came to be that Moshe called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as an ascending offering, a perfect one, and bring them before Yehovah. And speak to the children of Israel, saying, take a male goat as a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both a year old, perfect ones, as an ascending offering. All these points to the Messiah. All these points to the Messiah. He was a perfect one. Wasn't defiled. You take a, make sure it's in a year old, because there's no defiling that took place in that year. So make sure it's a year. Make sure he's a perfect one. And make sure he's a male. Male goat. And a bull and a ram as a peace offering to slaughter before Yehovah, and a grain offering mixed with oil. For today Yehovah shall appear to you. How many want that? Today Yehovah shall appear to you. I want that in my life. I want him to appear to me today. Not tomorrow. Yesterday is gone, so I can't ask him to appear to me yesterday. I need him to appear to me today. How you do that? You make sure you're doing everything that he commands. You make sure you walk even as the Messiah walked. And he will appear to you. It don't say he might. It says he shall appear to you. And they took what Moshe commanded before the tent of appointment. And all the congregation drew near and stood before Yehovah. And Moshe said, this is the word which Yehovah commanded you to do, so that the esteem of Yehovah appears to you. And Moshe said to Aaron, go to the slaughter place and prepare your sin offering and your ascending offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. And make the offering of the people and make atonement for them as Yehovah has commanded. So Aaron came near to the slaughter place and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the slaughter place, and poured the blood at the base of the slaughter place, and the fat, and the kidneys, and the appendix on the liver of the sin offering he burned on the slaughter place, as Yehovah had commanded Moshe. And the flesh and the skin he burnt with fire outside the camp. And he slew the ascending offering, and the sons of Aaron presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled on the slaughter place all around. And they presented the ascending offering to him with its pieces and head, and he burned them on the slaughter place, and he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the ascending offering on the slaughter place. And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it and made it a sin offering like the first one. And he brought the ascending offering and made it according to the right ruling. How he made it? According to the right ruling. He also brought the grain offering and filled his hand with it and burned it on the slaughter place besides the ascending offering of the morning. How should we bring our offerings? According to the right ruling. You don't come bring your offering like you want to bring it. You don't come dress the way you want to dress. You come like I tell you to, by my right rulings. That's how you do it. You want my presence? You want the esteem of Yehovah to be with you? You want his glory to be with you? You do it according to his right rulings. And he says he shall come. Not he might. He shall. And he's going to come on time. He ain't coming late. He's never been late. Ever. He's always been on time. Even when I thought in my mind that he was late, he never ever was. He also brought the grain offering and filled his hand with it and burned it on the slaughter place besides the ascending offering of the morning. And he slew the bull and the ram as a slaughtering of peace offerings, which were for the people. And Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled on the slaughter place all around. And the fat from the bull and the ram, and the fat tail, and the covering and the kidneys, and the appendix on the liver. And they placed the fat on the breast, and he burned the fat on the slaughter place. But the breast and the right thigh Aaron weighed as a wave offering before Yehovah, as Moshe had commanded. Aaron then lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from making the sin offering and the ascending offering and the peace offering. And Moshe and Aaron went into the tent of appointment and came out and blessed the people. And the esteem of Yehovah appeared to all the people. Notice Moshe and Aaron came out before the people. They got double. And fire came out from before Yehovah and consumed the ascending offering and the fat on the slaughter place. And all the people saw and cried aloud and fell on their face. That's how you know that Aaron did it just like Moshe showed him in chapter 8. Because the fire came down and ascended the offering. If he wouldn't have done it right, guess who the fire would have came down and ascended upon? Moshe. Aaron. Not Moshe. Aaron. But it didn't. That's why it was so important to go back. I'm so glad he went back and put chapter 8 in there. Even though it was in the last Torah portion, maybe we didn't get to read it. Hopefully we read it at home. We didn't get to present it here in the presentation. But it was so powerful that you go back and see how it all tied in. That he did it right. He did it right. It wasn't Aaron's fault that his sons died, and it wasn't Moshe's fault that the sons died. Because the sons decided to do what the sons wanted to do. No different when we get ourselves in trouble. Nobody's fault, but when we decide to do what we want to do is when we get ourselves in trouble. No one's fault but our own. In verse 2, we see that Aaron was now told to do for himself everything that Moshe did on his behalf. On the first day, he had been in the tent of appointment for the last 7 days. So how did he sin again? He did not. But until his own hands had dealt with his sin, the sin still had a foothold and could come back to haunt him. Until your own hands deal with your sin, the foothold can have a foothold on you and still can come back and haunt you. That's why when you sin, you cannot wait till the next day. You got to deal with it right then and there. You can't chance that. You think it's going to get easier? Let me tell you, from experience, it don't get easy if you don't deal with it right then and there. You let that thing linger around, it's going to build and build and build and build. And then you really got a mess on your hands. You deal with it right then and there, and then you can get to it quickly. Listen, if you don't, it takes the advocate to deal with it. It takes him to go before the Father and sprinkle his blood again for me. It takes that if I don't deal with it right then and there. If I let that thing, the foothold, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. What was done on the first day, in chapter 8, is what will be done on the 8th. This is a picture of the spiral that is eternity. But Moshe did it the first time as an example and bore the burden that time. And now the priests were to do it for themselves. Let me read it like this. But Yeshua did it the first time as an example and bore the burden that time. And now the priests, I'm going to say, and now us were to do it for ourselves in the way that not only Moshe, but Yeshua had trained us to do it. That Moshe and Yeshua trained us to do it. That remember that verse? Walk even as he walked. He trained us to do it. He did it the first time. He's not dying again. We could forget it. We have got to get this right. We have got to do it ourselves. They had to offer exactly what Moshe did. We have to offer exactly how Moshe did. We have to offer exactly how Yeshua did. We, just like they did. But it had to come from them this time. Has to come from us this time. Listen, it is our time. It is our opportunity. It is our moment. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to mess it up. We done messed it up. We done. We've been there, done that. It's our time to get it right. What Moshe brought was significant, sufficient, thank you, for 7 days. But it would not see him through to the 8th day. It's sufficient what you're doing today. What you're hearing? But what about tomorrow when that 8th day comes? Are we going to put it into action? Or we just hear his own. Tomorrow starts our 8th day. Better yet, the evening. Tonight, this evening, starts our 8th day. Evening to evening. Don't wait till tomorrow, because then you missed it. Start tonight. Start this evening. Start your 8th day. By the 8th day, we must take responsibility for our own sins and the places that we still have to deal with in our flesh. That's why it's so important that we take inventory. Take your inventory. Listen, and be honest. Be honest with yourself. You can't lie to him. You can lie to yourself. But be honest with yourself. Take inventory. See what really needs to be changed in our life. Deal with our flesh. Yeshua offered himself so that we could learn to offer ourselves. And so it is a clear picture that we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. James 1, Yaakov 1:22-25. and become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. And for he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he was like. But he that looked into the perfect Torah, perfect, that of freedom, not burden, not burdensome, as some say, some claim, that the Torah, what the Torah does, puts you in bondage. That's not what it says in the New Testament. That so many people love to read. They love it. We love all of it. He calls it the perfect Torah of freedom and continues in it. You have to continue in it. I mean, it doesn't end today just because we present the Torah today. No, you got to continue in it. Meaning it's your responsibility to continue in it on the eighth day and the next day and the next day and the next day, so forth, all the way to the next Shabbat. You have to continue in it. I think we give enough for people to continue in it. If not, just let us know. We get more. We have plenty. But he that looked into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets. Because listen, if you don't continue in it, let's not kid ourselves, you will forget. You will forget. It's just like in anything that you do. If you don't do it often, repetitious, you will forget. This Torah, you have to do it often. You have to continue in it, or you will forget. But a doer of the work, this one shall be blessed in his doing of the Torah. You want to be blessed? Don't walk around here saying you're blessed if you're not doing this Torah, because you're not. You're not blessed. He says, if you want to continue to be blessed, you continue in the Torah. You continue doing the Torah. And then you'll be blessed. That's what I call blessed. That's what his word says. I'm not saying that. His word says that. Yehovah said that. In order for you to be called blessed, you continue to do the Torah. In verses 3 through 6, we see that Moshe tells Aharon to instruct Yisrael what must be brought as offerings. And so we see how the whole community's involvement taking place, and in doing so, they were told that Yehovah would appear to them that day. The whole community, this whole assembly. There must have been great excitement and anticipation by all as the whole congregation drew near and stood before Yehovah. This was commanded by Yehovah so that the esteem of Yehovah would appear to the gathered assembly. Yaakov, James 4:8, draw near to Elohim. Listen, Leviticus is telling us how to draw near to Elohim. This book is so important, so powerful, that it's telling you in great detail how to draw near to Him. And it's also telling you in great detail that if you don't draw near to Him the way He tells you to, you're playing with fire. I don't know how many, I'm probably going to say this often, especially after this Torah portion. You're playing with fire. Leviticus is so powerful. He mentioned last night how, you know, when he was a young, right before he became a young pastor, whatever, he had questions to his pastors, and they said about the book of Leviticus, you don't touch it. You know, stay away from it. You know, this, that, and all that craziness that people say. About 2-3 weeks ago, I was fishing, and had a young guy and an older guy on the boat. And we had just did the first Torah portion of Leviticus. You know, I noticed that once you're doing the fishing, the guiding thing, you always get asked, what else do you do? always. Like fishing is not enough. You see my hands? Fishing is enough. I promise you. My hands hurt. Fishing is enough. I don't want to do nothing else after fishing. Yeah, I don't. I used to have plenty of energy when I worked on the boat for the oil company. Plenty. I ain't got it no more. I don't have it. I just want to sleep when I get home. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I just want to sleep. Yeah. But I have to do this. I can't get out of it. If I didn't have to, oh, man. I just want to sleep. But anyway, you can question, what else you to do? Okay, so, well, I'm an assistant pastor at a church, so, you know, we, so other things I do, I study, read, you know, whatever. He's like, well, what are y'all talking about? I said, well, we're doing the Torah. And the young boy said, oh, well, my wife just started reading Torah like 2 months ago, he said. I said, okay, well, good, you know, that's good. He says, well, why y'all don't talk about the New Testament? I said, well, we do. I said, the New Testament, when we do presentation, the New Testament is in there. It's all in there. I said, but we do the Torah, we get back to the foundation of the scripture. It's the foundation. It tells us what God likes and what he dislikes. So he said, what y'all talking about? I said, well, we just got in the book of Leviticus. Good luck with that. That's what the old man said. So I'm like, well, I didn't comment because I was like, well, I wonder why he said that. You know, he says, good luck with that. I'm like, okay, well, let's see, good luck. Let's see how what he's talking about. Well, I don't see good luck with that. I thank God for this. Now that we're in like what the second or third one of Leviticus, this is powerful. This is teaching me how to draw near to him. It's telling me how to bring the right fire. It's telling me how to put my wood in order so the right fire can come. What are you talking about? Good luck with that. I need that. I want that. It ain't no good luck. I thank God for that. So I'm hoping that I run into this man one more time. So I can say, you know what? It's more than luck, buddy. I need Leviticus. So much in my life I need Leviticus. You have no idea. Ain't no good luck. Thank God for Leviticus. Thank him. But yeah, he told me, they said, good luck with that. I said, okay. I got to see what this man's talking about. Well, lo and behold, I know. It ain't luck, buddy. Draw near to Elohim and he shall draw near to you. Cleanse hands, sinners, and cleanse hearts, you double-minded. When drawing near to Yehovah, we must get rid of all doubts. We just sing that song, the last one we sing. I told myself I was going to try to remember that. But you can't doubt. You can't have no doubt when it comes to him. When he says do it, you do it. When he says silence, you're silent. When he says speak, you speak. When he says run, you run. When he says jump, you jump. When he says you need to get all in, you get all in. Submerse. That's all in. Not half this waist deep water, chin deep. That's not all in. I want him to suffocate me with his word. I want him to suffocate me with his presence. I want to tell him, ho, 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 like they did at the mountain. That's what I want. You can't give it to me all at once, Father. Just give me a little bit at a time. Suffocate me with your presence, though. Listen, we suffocated ourselves with a whole bunch of other stuff that had no meaning behind it. It was nonsense that led to eternity. Suffocated myself with it. Just like he said, you know, those nights you don't remember how you got home. You suffocated yourself with it. Had no idea how I got home. How crazy was that? How stupid that was. Literally, didn't even know how I made it home. You talking about grace? My boy. When drawing near to Yehovah, we must get rid of all doubts. For if we doubt, we shall not see his esteem. We shall not see his glory. We shall not see how powerful he really is if we doubt him. The way to draw near to him is to do Leviticus. is to have our hands washed, a picture of the bronze laver that was before the set apart place, and our hearts are to have his Torah written upon them. Your hearts have to have the Torah written upon it. And not have conflicting belief systems that war against one another, causing a double-mindedness. For if there is, then the ability to draw near grows dim. If you have any doubt about his Torah and what it says for us to do, our ability to draw near to him is dim. And if our ability to draw near to him is dim, what about the ones that we so-called loved ones? Whether it's kids, husband, wife, what are their chances? If ours is dim, if we double-minded can't make our mind up. Listen, we got to be solid in this. It's our time. We have to be solid. We can't be wishy-washy, double-minded. No doubt, if he said it, I want to do it. If I don't understand it, I still want to do it. I got to trust that he knows what's best. It's called faith. When we offer up our lives as a daily living sacrifice and expel all doubts and embrace his true word at face value and determine to walk in it with our all. Notice, you got to walk in it with your all. This is nothing you can tiptoe in. Can't go in it half-heartedly, just with some of you. We got to go in it all. Why? If we're going to walk, even as Messiah walked, how did he walk? Did he go in it with his all? Amen. Did he go in it with his all? Cost him his life. To me, that's all. What it cost us? Any of us, any one of us was hung on a cross? Any one of us has been beaten? Any one of us had thorns put on our head? Let's not even go that far. Any one of us has been spit in the face? Think about it. His all. We will then see or embrace the proof of his presence. When the Torah becomes true reality within us, we will begin to clearly see as a community in one another that he is real. When the Torah becomes real to us, we will see that he is real. When it becomes real in us. The call had gone out from Moshe to Aharon to the people, and now the people were to draw near in order to see the esteem of the Almighty. Listen, every Shabbat, the call goes out to us. Every Shabbat, the call is going out. It's up to us to draw near to him. We ain't waiting on him. He's always waiting on us. Always. Listen, he's right here every single time, just waiting to draw near to him. He's just waiting for us to make the first move. Listen, he done made his move. He sent my advocate. He sent the Messiah. It's up to you to make the move now. The call had gone out from Moshe to Aaron, and the people are now. The people were to draw near in order to see the esteem of the Almighty. The word Torah has gone forth and has been announced through Moshe and the prophets, and was manifested before us in the life, death, and resurrection of Messiah. And so now, just as they drew near back then, so too do we need to be a people who draw near to Elohim in the correct and appropriate manner of set apartness. There's a way, the proper way, to draw near to Elohim. There's a correct way to draw near to Elohim. appropriate manner of set apartness. Aharon then performed all that was required according to the instructions of the Father, as given through Moshe, and Moshe would have been there with Aharon every step of the way. Yeshua said himself that he only does that which the Father tells him, and that he was not left alone. Listen, and as Moshe was with Aharon every step of the way, Yeshua is with us every step of the way. The same way Moshe was for Aharon, the same way Yeshua was for us, and still is for us. He's with. We have to know that, and trust that, and believe that He's with me every step of the way. Every time I'm going through something, every tear I cry, He's right there with me every step of the way. Yohanan, John 8:29, and He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him. The Father has not left me alone because I always do what pleases Him. You want Yehovah to never leave you alone? Always do what pleases Him. It's when we don't do what pleases Him is when we're left alone. It's when we're going totally against His word, totally against His commands, His right rulings, His orders, is when we're left alone. If we're doing it exactly how He tells us to, we are never left alone. Just like Yeshua just said, my Father's always with me because I do what pleases Him. John 12:49, because I spoke not from myself, but the Father who sent me has given me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. We have the same command of what we should say and what we should speak. How we should say it, when we should say it. Listen, just because we know it doesn't mean it's the right time to say things. There's always a right time to say it. You ever spoke out of order? You ever spoke out of turn? Often. When we should have been silent, we spoke. He tells you, say it when it's time to say it. You can't just say what you want to say when you want to say it. You're speaking out of turn. And Yeshua never spoke out of turn. He always waited till He heard from the Father. Always. Because He knew He couldn't have chanced that. Him saying something out of turn could have led somebody down the wrong path. Wasn't the right time to say it. How important it is that we listen to that and take heed to that. Only say when I want you to say it. Don't say because, you know, you got it. You know, I gave you this script and now you think you got to tell everybody. No, as a time, I gave it to you. I gave it to you first. You needed to hear it. It ain't for somebody else, first of all. Let's get that off top. I'm going to give you a scripture, but you deal with you first with that script before you decide to pass it on to someone else like they needed to hear it. No, I gave it to you to hear first. I gave it to you so you can make the adjustments in your life. Then you pass it on when somebody else is dealing, when you can say, hey, look, this is what the Lord gave to me when I was going through this. I didn't give you this for you to throw at somebody else. Be careful. Be careful. John 6:37-40. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And the one who comes to me, I shall by no means cast out. Because I have come down out of the heaven, not to do my own desire, but the desire of Him who sent me. This is the desire of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I shall not lose of it, but shall raise it in the last day. And this is the desire of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him shall possess everlasting life, and I shall raise him up in the last day. So powerful. This is a great truth of the reflection of what we see happening in Leviticus 9, as pictured through the obedience of Aharon and the high priest and all the congregation who were gathered to witness and see the esteem of Elohim. Aharon was doing the desire of the Father, and all who were gathered would see him and live. Yeshua is our high priest who has come and done the desire of the Father, and we who see him as we draw close to him and believe in him and guard to do all he commands and follow in his steps have the assurance of eternal life, the picture of the symbolism of the 8th day, in that it represents eternity. Verse 6 highlights for us a very valuable lesson, and that is that when we guard to do all that Elohim has commanded us to do, then we have the assurance of the esteem of Elohim appearing to us. We will take a closer look at the esteem of Yehovah in this Torah portion when looking at chapter 10. Chapter 10 is so good. We would have to talk really fast and do no commenting in order to get to chapter 10. Really. If you just read this, it would be a struggle to get to chapter 10 without commenting. But boy, I can't wait. Brother Chaz gets to do chapter 10, I think. And it's going to be so good. You don't want to miss Wednesday night Bible study. You don't want to miss it. I told you what it builds. In our wood demonstration, build standards. Y'all thought I forgot, but I did. Set standards. You don't want to miss your Bible study on Wednesday night. The Torah is going forth on Wednesday night. You want to be here. I'm telling you, you want to be here. Because in chapter 10, it tells us about the esteem of Yehovah. Verses 7 through 21 gives us the clear account of the obedience of Aharon and his sons, doing all that Yehovah had commanded them through Moshe. They had presented the ascending offerings, sin offerings, grain offering, and peace offerings as Moshe had commanded. Last week's Torah portion from Leviticus 6:8 through 8:36 is called Sav, which means command, and comes from the root word Savah, Strong's H6680, which means to lay charge, give charge, command, order, decree, i.e. states with force, authority, what others must do. Listen, that's what the Torah tells us. The Torah is giving us commands, is giving us orders, is giving us a decree, what we must do. It's not, you know, a suggestion. No, it's a commandment. You must do these things. Why? You want his presence? You want the esteem of Yehovah to be with you everywhere you go? If you want him just to be here when you come here, man, we're missing it big time. We're missing it big time. If you think that you just want it here when you get here on Shabbat night, Friday night and Shabbat morning, no, you better want that esteem with you when you're at your house, when you're on the road, when you're at work, when you're on the boat, when you're at school. We can't afford for his presence not to be with us wherever we go. We can't afford it. Because that's when we find ourselves doing things that we have out of character, not according to his Torah. When his presence is not with you, you do things on your own. You make decisions on your own. That's a bad decision off top. When you're making decisions on your own. Before you make a decision, pray about it. Ask him if it's the right one. Listen, if you follow his commands, he's going to let you know if it's the right decision to make. So don't make the wrong decision by thinking you need to make the decision. That's going to be the wrong one. Ask him if it's the right move. Ask him if I should stay still. If I should be silent. What we see very clearly being documented for us here in Leviticus 9 is that Aharon and his sons did all that they were commanded to, bringing all the offerings that were commanded, according to the strict commands for each offering. Strict commands for each offering. This teaches us that we cannot assume to do things our own way. Don't assume that you can do it your way. Assumptions get you in trouble. No, he's not an assuming God. He doesn't assume nothing. He commands. When we have been clearly commanded how we are to live set apart lives and give our lives as a daily living offering and our reasonable worship unto Elohim, any departure from the clear obedience to the commands of Elohim will render our attempt at drawing near as defiled and unacceptable. I'm going to read that again because you might want to write it down. Any departure from the clear obedience to the commands of Elohim will render our attempt at drawing near as defiled and unacceptable. We think Torah is important because it is clear obedience. It is clear commands of what we should do and how we should do it. Somebody say, well, we don't need to do it. Yes, we need to do the Torah. Yes, we need the Torah. Yes, we need Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Yes, we need it all. All of it. Why? Because I don't want to take the chance of attempting at drawing near to be defiled and unacceptable. The Hebrew word that is translated as prepare in verse 7 comes from the root word asah, Strong's 862:13, meaning to do, work, make, produce, to act, produce, to act with effect, to observe, to bring about, and to institute, and can also mean celebrate. And a derivative of this word, root word, asah, Strong's 862:13, is the word maaseh, Strong's 846:39, which means a deed, work, or acts, and accomplishments. The book of Acts is known in the Hebrew as maaseh, which is a record of the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles speaks of the deeds or acts of that which the apostle did, and it records their acts of obedience, from which we are able to learn many great and valuable lessons from. We shall be known by our fruits based on our proper reverence and submission to our master, which shall be evidence in our heart and our acts of obedience, as we walk in righteousness, guarding to do all that he has commanded us to do all the time. All the time. You know, you hear preachers, ministers, pastors that say he's same God yesterday, today, and forever. But somehow he changed. Somehow the yesterday God to them changed. But yet you quote a verse that says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when did forever change? To do all the time. As we consider how all was made and prepared, according to all that Yehovah commanded through Moshe, we are able to glean some valuable insight in terms of how we as living stones are being built up in the Master, and to ensure that we are guarding to do all that Yehovah has commanded, as through Moshe, so that we can be the perfect dwelling place of the Most High. So your tabernacle can be the perfect dwelling place of the Most High. Your tabernacle. We are to become doers of the word and not just hearers only. In Yaakov, James 1, 22-25, one more time. And become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he was like. But he that looked into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of work, This one shall be blessed in doing, in his doing of the Torah. As we consider this root verb, asa, in terms of our need to be doers of the word, we recognize that we can only be proper doers if we are in fact looking intently into the word. And when we see this word in the ancient pictograph script, we gain further understanding of what it is to be a proper doer of the word. So if you want to make sure that you're doing that you are properly doing the word, listen, it takes you to look at it intently. Not just, you know, proofreading or brainstorming through it. No, you're actually taking your time, line upon line, precept upon precept. You're taking your time and then looking at it intently. What does that mean when you look at something intently? That you're so focused on this that nothing else, you can block out anything that's going on around you. Nothing else matters when you're looking intently at the word. No matter what's on TV, who's in your house, listen to the wife if she says something. Acknowledge that she said something, but look intently into the word. You want to make sure you're doing it right? You look intently at it. You make sure you check it. You make sure your life is lining up with everything that he says to do and what not to do. That's looking at it intently. Not assuming. You leave your assumptions out of this. You do what he's commanding. In the ancient pictograph script, the verb asa, Strong's 862-13, looks like this. The ayin, the original pictograph for this letter, and it represents the idea of seeing and watching, as well as knowledge. As the eye is the window of knowledge. This is the letter shin, which in the ancient script is pictured as the two front teeth and carries the meaning of sharp or press, chew or devour, which is what the teeth do. And also speaks of the sharpened word that comes forth from the mouth as the teeth chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying as teeth do the food. The hay, the ancient script has this letter and it's pictured as a man standing with his arms raised up and out as if pointing to something. And in essence carries the meaning of behold. As in when looking at something very great, it can also have the meaning to breath or sigh, as when looking at a great sight and having your breath taken away, so to speak. It also has the meaning of revelation or to reveal something by pointing it out, as well as praise through the lifting up of our hands in complete awe and surrender. Listen, and there's nothing more breathtaking when you're looking at the word intently and he reveals something to you. You just sit back and you, wow, I never seen that. But you just revealed that to me. How wonderful is that? That is breathtaking. Listen, if you haven't experienced that, go look intently into the word and I promise you, he will reveal something to you that is breathtaking. He will. When looking at this word, asa, in the ancient pictograph form, we are able to further understand how critical it is for us to be doers of the word. How critical it is for us to be doers of the word. Listen, this time that we're living in is critical that we are doing, I'm going to stop right here. What was this? One? That we be doers of the word. Just take a look around. If you haven't, I don't want to encourage you, but watch the news. If you think it's not critical, watch the news. If you don't want to watch the news, just go ride around in your community. It's critical that we be doers of the word. Critical. And so perform and do that which is instructed for us to do. From this picture, we can see the meaning of looking at the word that has been revealed. The Master, Yeshua Messiah, has been revealed. The word has been revealed. The Torah has been revealed. Look at it intently. Amen. He's good to us. How many is enjoying the book of Leviticus? I'm enjoying the book of Leviticus. So powerful. Listen, I want to know what it takes to draw near to Elohim. I want to know with everything that is in me. Not only do I want to know, I want to make sure that I'm doing it right, because I want His presence with me everywhere I go. I don't want to, listen, He's guaranteed that He'll show up on His appointed time. But I want it when I'm outside of His appointed times. When I'm out and about doing what I want to be doing for that day or that week, I want that presence with me. Amen. He's good to us. Let's stand.